Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we are joined now by Janae Desmond Harris. She's a staff writer and White House correspondent for The Root. Before The Root, she was a practicing attorney and contributor to Time, MSNBC, Exogene, and more. Janae, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I've been following your work. Enjoy it. I'm glad you could be here on Mark Steiner Show here at WEA at Morgan State University. And want our listeners to join us here at 410-319-8888. You've been covering the George Zimmerman trial, which many people call the Trayvon Martin trial, but he's
right.
Not on trial, though some might think he's on trial.
Yeah, it might actually seem that way. That's a really interesting point. So there was a hearing on Tuesday in which Judge Deborah Nelson, who's the judge assigned to the case, ruled on a string of motions. And interestingly, one of them had to do with sort of like the idea that a lot of people have that it seems as if George Zimmerman's defense is trying to put Trayvon Martin on trial here. That one had to do with the introduction of evidence regarding Trayvon Martin's marijuana use, his history of fights, and his school suspensions. And the prosecution basically said, look, all of this is basically designed to portray Martin as a troubled teenager, as a bad guy, as, you know, some horrible kid who had a propensity for fighting and interest in guns. And it doesn't have anything to do with whether, you know, why George Zimmerman killed him that night. We know that George Zimmerman did kill him, and it's basically not relevant. The judge actually agreed with that. She said the rules of evidence simply kept Zimmerman's team from introducing the things they wanted to introduce. So that was sort of a huge setback for them, and that's been something that I think people have been waiting to see for a long time. It's been a source of great frustration because, you know, this case doesn't have to do with who Martin was and whether he was a perfect child and whether he ever did anything wrong. It has to do with what happened that night of February 26, 2012 in Sanford, Florida when he was killed.
I just think about 226.12. One other thing I was thinking about is, as I was reading your piece, was and also looking at what was on Fox News, and we'll talk about in our next segment as well, is that when you watch Fox News and you look at the pictures they put up of Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman. The George Zimmerman picture is this picture of a guy looks like he's been beaten up, very sad and forlorn.
Right.
And next to him is a picture of Trayvon Martin looking like a young black thug.
Right.
Am I crazy? Have you noticed that?
No, you're not crazy. And I think, you know, The Root's been covering this issue weekly and sometimes daily since Trayvon Martin's death. And that's been something that's come up repeatedly is sort of his image and what about his image matters. As far as public opinion on this case. And sadly enough, even though anyone who's really paying close attention, and certainly anyone who knows anything about the legal system, is aware that it doesn't matter if he looks like a thug, it doesn't matter if, you know, he did some typical teenage things, it doesn't matter if he wasn't the cutest, most innocent child in the world. What matters is, like I said, what happened the night of February 26th when he and George Zimmerman encountered each other in Sanford, Florida. Even though that's very obvious, I do think there's definitely an effort to sway public opinion by sort of trying to subtly convey the message that Trayvon Martin had these qualities that American society associates with, like, black men, like dangerous, bad, terrible. Therefore, that's supposed to lead people to the conclusion that it's somehow his fault that that George Zimmerman killed him. You know, that George Zimmerman must have been standing his ground or acting in self-defense because Trayvon looks like a bad guy. It's not really very logical, but I think it may resonate on an emotional level with some members of the American public, and I think that's why we continue to see people pushing those images.
So how do you think that, as an attorney as well, how do you think this will affect the trial? I mean, if this is what some of the image is being pushed, and jury members are watching Fox News or other places with this kind of pejorative look at who Trayvon Martin might be and who George Zimmerman is being portrayed as, how will that affect what happens at the trial?
Well, one thing that was acknowledged in the trial is that both sides have talked to the media extensively, right? So I think that members of the public have the opportunity to hear a lot from both sides, and the jury pool, I think, to some extent will be tainted by that. That said, our legal system is set up to have rules of evidence where jurors are only allowed to consider certain things. And that's why they're not going to be allowed to, they're going to be given specific instructions by the judge that, you know, they can't consider these photos. They can't consider whether he was suspended. They can't consider whether he ever smoked marijuana. Like, our legal system is designed to protect defendants from that type of prejudice. That said, jurors are human beings. And I think we'll hear a lot of arguments, especially from the prosecution side, about, you know, for example, Mark O'Mara wanted to keep jurors totally sequestered. He actually has the opposite concern from yours, which is that jurors, like, are going to be too influenced by society. He feels like everyone's on Trayvon Martin's side, and he wants jurors, even before they're selected, to be locked in a hotel, all 500 of them. The judge said no to that as well. She was like, that's not feasible. You know, once we actually select the jurors, we can absolutely talk about that. And both sides agree that they don't want these people being harassed by the media, and they don't want them, you know, to be having their picture taken and asked all these questions. So certainly the ones who are actually selected can be sequestered during the trial. But as far as all of them, you know, who are under consideration, I think she said that's a bit of a stretch.
I mean, one of the issues that seems to be coming to the fore as well is I've read some attorneys saying that they think the marijuana issue around Trayvon Martin could be raised because one of the things that George Zimmerman has said is that he thought he was high. Does that
mean
it could be brought up?
So, yeah, their argument, what Mark O'Mara's argument was that the drug use could have made him aggressive and paranoid,
right,
and prompted him to attack Zimmerman, and that this all supports the claim that Zimmerman was acting in self-defense. The judge basically said no to that, and I think they'll look at the physical evidence, they'll look at, you know, the recordings of the 911 calls and who was yelling for help, they'll look at, you know, I mean, this is like a regular crime, right? This is not a character trial, and I think there's probably enough physical evidence and enough evidence from witnesses that the judge decided that just would confuse the issue too much, and it's really too attenuated from the actual issue of what happened when they confronted each other that night.
Yeah, this trial has the potential, again, I think, in some ways. And folks, join us. I see a call coming in. If you want to join us, please, 410-319-8888. Want to hear your thoughts before we move on to our news roundup as we talk with Janae Desmond Harris, Steph Rader, and White House correspondent for The Root. And look forward to her joining our roundtable soon in the future as well. But when this trial has the potential to really not just grab the attention of the United States of America, but to divide it on certain racial lines, when people look at this. Now, even not as completely as we did before. Times have changed since the O.J. Simpson trial.
Mm-hmm.
But in a different way, in a different twist, you're seeing this being played out in the conservative media versus establishment media and other media.
Right, absolutely. And even at Tuesday's hearing, Zimmerman's attorney, Mark O'Mara, said that his sense was that the public perception was that this was like the civil rights trial of the decade. Now, he said, obviously, it's not a civil rights trial. It's,
right,
it's actually a criminal trial. But the perception that it reflects on sort of race and justice, I think, is absolutely real. And I do think the public will be paying attention to it as a statement about where we are with those issues. That said, I think it's really good that Zimmerman waived his right to the Stand Your Ground hearing, which, you know, just to review, that's the Florida law that would have given,
right,
him immunity from this whole trial if he could say that, you know, he reasonably feared for his life. His attorney's never explained why he waived that, but I think the idea of him being able to avoid a trial altogether by using that statute was really sort of like one of the greatest sources of outrage and a sense of injustice around this. So I think that tamps it down a little bit. It's perhaps less intense because we're not about to see George Zimmerman just get away without a trial. That's not happening. A trial is going to take place beginning June 10th. That said, I still think there are these underlying issues of sort of racial profiling and, you know, how we view and react to black men in this country, and people will absolutely be paying close attention to that.
410-319-8888, Janae Desmond Harris, who's staff writer and White House correspondent for The Root, is covering the trial of George Zimmerman. And Ginger, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes. Hello. Welcome,
Ginger. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just like to ask the lady sitting there, because it's something that's just bothering me ever since this case been going on, because I can't understand how is it that it got this far when I was going to school and a fight would break out, the first thing the principal would say, who was the one who initiated, who was the aggressor? So in this case, Zimmerman was the aggressor, because when it first hit the news, he claimed that he was a security or something in his community, and once they found out that wasn't true, he had no right to even approach that young man because he was wrong. That's one. And number two, if Trayvon did hit him, he didn't even know who he was, and he had a right to stand his own grounds too, because that's the law there. So to go this far about Trayvon's character and all that, it should be cut dry with Zimmerman approaching him, and he didn't have the right. So he initiated, and he was the aggressor.
Right. I mean, I think you're sort of speaking from what's a really popular narrative about what happened that night, and I think just to take George Zimmerman's side, he would probably say, no, you know, perhaps I followed him, I asked him what he was doing, and then Trayvon Martin attacked me. So I think like the moment it comes down to is the moment when they were, you know, next to each other on the sidewalk, who attacked who was afraid for their life. That's something I think members of the public on both sides have really strong views about and have strong instincts about what it seems like happened based on the pieces of stories that we've heard. But that's what the jury is actually going to be looking at, that very narrow issue of what happened in that encounter.
So do you think the trial will start on June the 10th? Janae, or is there going to be a delay?
I don't think there's any reason to see that it would be delayed. So far, Judge Nelson has denied George Zimmerman's defense team's motion to delay it. They wanted a bit more time to take depositions and to review some evidence, and she said, no, we're going to go ahead and start it June 10th. So unless they introduce a different motion that she rules on in their favor, I think that we can pretty much count on that. And it's anyone's guess how long it will take. I really couldn't even make a prediction about that.
Right. No, I don't think anybody can. Also, there was the issues about all the money that Zimmerman has raised in his defense, and that's somehow depleted and gone.
Right, yeah. I mean, Zimmerman had an enormous defense fund, and I do have the numbers in front of me.
$312,000 or something?
Depleted. He has less than $5,000 left, and the fund had actually almost $315,000 back in January. That said, the story of his defense fund being depleted was reported widely, so I wouldn't be surprised if since Wednesday, you know, people have made some more donations to it.
And therein lies the divide.
Therein lies the divide, exactly.
Right.
This is going to be a very contentious trial no matter what the outcome, and it's going to make statements about a lot of things in our society beyond, you know, the actual events of that night in a lot of people's minds.
We've been talking with Janae Desmond-Harris. She is staff writer and White House correspondent for The Root. She's a practicing attorney, has contributed to much media around the country, and we really look forward to having her back as part of our roundtables in the next couple of weeks. She does great work at The Root. Janae, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, and please keep up with our trial updates at The Root.
Oh, we will. Every week we'll get you on, hopefully.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye. We're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we go to our news roundtable. We'll talk a little bit about Trayvon. We will talk about issues that are facing this country that have come up in the last week or two. So stay with us with all that. We have some interesting guests. Don't go away.